Today we turn to the third temptation listed in Matthew's gospel. It's actually in the parallel Luke's gospel, the second one. They reverse the orders in different ways for a different effect and purpose. But it's the same account. And as we think about this temptation, the temptation to do good by evil means, I think of Aesop. You remember Aesop? When you were a kid, they used to teach you Aesop's fables because they always had a moral to the story. Aesop tells the story of the hawk and the pigeons, one of my favorite Aesop's tales. He says a hawk had long had his eye on a flock of pigeons, but no matter how often the hawk had swooped down upon them from the sky, they always had been able to reach their shelter in safety. Thinking that it might be his shadow, he tried the same thing on a cloudy day, but still the pigeons made it to their shelter in safety. At length, the hungry hawk decided to use craft instead of attack. From the top of a nearby dead tree, he called down to the pigeons, "Why do you prefer this life of constant fear and anxiety? If you would just make me your king, I could patrol the sky and make you safe from any attack that could be made upon you." The pigeons, foolish pigeons, believed that the hawk's interest in their safety was sincere, so they called him to the throne as their king and protector. But no sooner was he established as king than he issued his first edict. Every day, one pigeon would have to be sacrificed for his dinner. And the moral of the story is this: they who voluntarily put themselves under the power of a tyrant deserve whatever fate they receive. In 609 BC, good King Josiah, it's recorded in the book of the Kings of Israel, led his troops in battle against Egypt. On the plains of Megiddo, he died in battle. His servants brought his body back in a chariot from Megiddo to Jerusalem and buried him in his own tomb. The people didn't wait long. They mourned their loss, but they quickly crowned his son Jehoahaz as king in his place. Jehoahaz had reigned only for 3 months when the same Egyptians came, Pharaoh Necho, arrived in Jerusalem and put Jehoahaz in chains and carried him away to Egypt. He then crowned Eliakim king in his father's place and renamed him Jehoiakim. In exchange for making him king, Jehoiakim paid Pharaoh Necho silver and gold. In order to meet the demands, Jehoiakim taxed the land, extracted silver and gold from the people. For 11 years he ruled Judah. The first 8 of those under Pharaoh Necho and his permission. The last 3 years he ruled under the permission of Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, who defeated Egypt in battle and took all those subservient kingdoms from Egypt and their extortion money, if you will, that kept the king happy. Jehoiakim was 2 years behind in his payment when Nebuchadnezzar came in force to exact payment, and he found not Jehoiakim, but his son Jehoiachin ruling in his stead. Nebuchadnezzar didn't like that. He took Jehoiakim and exiled him to Babylon and put on the throne his uncle, Mattaniah, changing his name to Zedekiah. 8 years later, Zedekiah rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and after a 3-year siege, Jerusalem fell, and he was taken away in chains to exile in Babylon after being blinded, but first seeing his whole family executed before his eyes. And Judah became a barren wasteland. It was terrible. The kingdom of Israel was at an end, as the people of Israel had looked not to God for their protection, but had placed themselves under the rule of tyrants. In exile, they learned to trust God. And 70 years later, under the rule of Zerubbabel, they returned from exile to the promised land. This brief history of Judah, the last years of Judah before exile, reveals that being a king is not always a glorious event. Just because you're the ruler of a nation doesn't mean that you wield power over all the people doing what you want to do. The kings of Judah that followed Josiah were all puppet kings, placed on the throne by somebody else's power to whom they paid tribute. Each ruler made them swear fealty and allegiance to them. They ruled only so long as it suited the other ruler. And so they were reminded, they who voluntarily placed themselves under the power of a tyrant deserve whatever fate they receive. Sometime around AD 29, Jesus was baptized by John in the desert, in the Jordan. And then, as Matthew tells us, he was led into the desert to be tempted and tested by the devil for 40 days. And the first temptation we saw was the temptation to satisfy yourself based on Jesus' hunger and his sense of own need. Would he satisfy his own needs first and then give to others? Or would he seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and trust that God would provide what he needed to survive? Jesus chose to honor God. The second temptation that Jesus faced was the temptation to test God. Would Jesus try to force God to do miraculous things to prove that Jesus was the Messiah? Would he do what the commentators wanted the Messiah to do? Jump from the temple and so that the angels would come and visibly help him to float down like a feather to earth as a proof that he was the Messiah. A misuse of God's word. Jesus avoided that temptation as he would again and again in his ministry. And Jesus' third temptation in the wilderness was the temptation to take shortcuts, to do good by evil means. Now, I don't profess to have any idea what thoughts were going through Jesus' mind as the devil took him in the wilderness to these different places and showed him these different things, especially when he was on that high mountain and saw the kingdoms of the world. And I don't know if Jesus ever heard of Aesop, but he may have remembered the history of Israel and Judah, and he may have thought about the fate of Zedekiah, the puppet king of Judah, who saw his family murdered, was then blinded and exiled to Babylon. Whatever went through Jesus' mind, he did remember the words of God to Israel through Moses as they were about to enter into the promised land. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to give your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. When you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths only in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 14. Fear the Lord your God, serve only him. Or as another translation says, fear the Lord your God and worship him only. Every day we're faced with a choice as to whether or not we'll take shortcuts. Shortcuts can seem like a good thing, but they come with a price. And usually, shortcuts don't work out exactly as we intended. Perhaps you had a similar experience to one that I had not too long ago. I asked my phone for some directions. You know what that's like. Okay, how do I get here, Google? Well, as the directions came up, I noticed they were taking me the long way around, and I thought, you know, if I go this way, it's a lot quicker. I've been on that road before. It's a good road. So I took the way that I thought was the shortcut. Well, guess what? I've had Google take me to the wrong place time after time, but this time Google actually knew something I didn't know. I took my shortcut and ran right into the middle of road construction that Google knew about, but I didn't. And as I sat there in traffic, realizing that my shortcut was going to take me a lot longer, I thought back to another shortcut I took some 30 years earlier when I was on vacation driving through North Carolina and decided with the family we'd go to visit a church in a place called Kings Mountain, where you could either drive around the 40 all the way around North Carolina to get to it that way, or you could take this little shortcut highway. What I didn't realize was a shortcut highway that looked like it would cut off about an hour went like this in two lanes. It took us 2 hours longer, and by the time we got there, we'd miss church. Don't take shortcuts when you're looking for directions. Go the tried and true way and avoid being late. Jesus was tempted in every way we are, yet he did not give in to temptation. Therefore, he did not sin. His victory over temptation gives us hope of victory over our temptations. Temptations like a young boy wanting to play football. It's his only way out of a life of living in the inner city, poverty. He knows if he can get a scholarship to college, he might even make it to the pros and his whole life could be turned around. But he's not quite big enough to play on the varsity team. If only he could gain a little bit of muscle and a little bit of weight. A friend offers him a solution. These little pills called steroids will help your muscles get stronger. They prescribe them all the time for people who are sick. Why not use some yourself? Take some HGH. Get a little bigger. Get a little stronger. Get that scholarship. He doesn't realize that choice might cost him his life. House builder has a good job. He needs money now, though, to pay some bills that are past due. He has a pretty good reputation, although he's been known from time to time to maybe work around some of the codes in building. So he decides to build a house that someone has asked him to build for them at a great cost. He's underbid it, however, so he starts taking shortcuts. Instead of using 4x8s, he uses 2x4s. How long is that house going to last when the earth starts to shake? He pockets enough money to pay his bills, but at what cost to himself and the people who buy the home? A young woman in medical school, it's her final year of residency. She's just got to take a couple tests, and she's got her medical license. She's worked hard for years. She's sacrificed. She's done so well, but she's failed this test twice, and she only gets 3 tries. What will she do to pass the test? Will she figure out a way to write some answers someplace that she can look at them when she's there? It's just a small thing. And after all, once she gets her medical license, she can do so much good. Do the ends justify the means? Another student doing well in school thinks it's all about finances. And I had a friend who did this, and I argued with him for doing this. He said, you know, I'm here. I can pay my way through, but I can also take out these student loans that I don't have to pay until I graduate. And with those loans, I can put money in an IRA, I can buy a car, I can buy new stereo equipment because I don't need it for school because I'm able to pay the cost of school. So I'll take out the loans and I'll buy all the stuff that I want that'll make my life comfortable. Of course, what he doesn't realize is he has to pay the loan back when he gets out of school, and that's not what the loans were intended for those college students. Funds are limited. Only so many students qualify. He's taking money from somebody else, but he's going to school. Doesn't that make it okay? They are student loans. Jesus faced the temptation to cut corners. Would the ends justify the means? Jesus had come to bring salvation to the world. And the cost of that salvation was going to be his life. He was going to be nailed to a cross. He had two choices. I either live my life in obedience to my calling, my lifelong calling, to honor God, my heavenly Father, to do his will and his work, and hang on a cross. And suddenly, Satan offers him another offer. You don't have to do that. You're here to bring salvation to the world. Don't worship God. Worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms. They'll all fall down before you. You can do whatever you want. You can remake the world in your own image. I'll give it to you. But you just have to worship Satan. Just a moment. Bend your knee. Bend one. It'll be okay. You can rule the world. But Jesus knew what Satan knew, that power is granted through submission. And it's to whom you submit that determines what kind of power you will wield. Where would Jesus' source of power come from? From Satan or from God? Those who voluntarily put themselves under the power of a tyrant deserve whatever fate they receive. God's word echoes in the back of Jesus' mind. Deuteronomy 6. Fear the Lord. Worship only him. Jesus refused the temptation to rule the kingdoms of the world and avoid the agony of the cross. Or to quote William Barclay on his commentary on this passage, Jesus was quite certain that we can never defeat evil by compromising with evil. Or as Paul said in Romans 12:2, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Friends, what would have happened had Jesus bowed his knee to Satan? Ever think about that? Yes, Jesus would have ruled the world. But here's the downside. The world would still be bound by sin. We as people would still be condemned to death because Jesus would not have died on the cross. There'd be no substitutionary atonement. We'd have to pay the price ourselves, which means that for all of sin fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. There is no hope of salvation by grace through faith. And it's already been proved that the works can't put you in God's good graces because you can't work hard enough and fulfill the law completely. We're unable to do that because we're broken humanity, broken by sin. Jesus took the punishment we deserved. That didn't happen. If he bends his knee to Satan, we're lost. We're condemned to death. Because there would be no cross, there'd be no forgiveness, no salvation, no hope. We might have enjoyed a short time of life on earth, but condemned to eternal damnation. Jesus' power to rule would have come from Satan, and that would have changed his rulings, how he was, who he was. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, would be nothing more than a puppet ruler, powerless to do any good. Because, friends, you cannot accomplish good by evil means. Jesus took the long view. He realized that his mission could only be accomplished in obedience to God's will. And because he did, now we can truly be saved from our sin. So thank God, Jesus was tempted in every way as we, yet without sin. He was able to turn the suggestion of compromise with evil to accomplish good purposes, to turn that down and accomplish the good purpose of God for us and for our salvation. Because Jesus remembered God and worshiped God alone, Jesus was exalted by God to the highest place given. The name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Because of Jesus, we too can now overcome temptation to do what appears to be good in the short run, but is evil in the long run. Because Jesus overcame this temptation, we can too. So friends, hear the word of the Lord, fear the Lord, serve only him, fear the Lord, worship him only. Don't be tempted to give someone or something else God's due. Don't be tempted to take a shortcut that bends your knee, even momentarily, to evil. Remember Aesop, if you don't remember anything else. They who voluntarily put themselves under the power of a tyrant deserve whatever fate they receive. Follow Jesus' example. Worship the Lord your God. Serve only him. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to spend time together in prayer, to spend time together in worship, to spend time together at your table receiving and remembering your grace given to us by Jesus Christ our Lord. Your Son, God of very God, human nature completely, overcoming the power of sin and the temptation to do good by evil means. He suffered, he died for us that we might have life. We give you thanks. We give you praise. And it's in his name we pray and come to your table. Amen.